Our chapel speaker this morning is Dr. David Doran. He is the senior pastor of Inner City Baptist Church in Allen Park, Michigan, and he's also president of the Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary. He teaches practical theology there, and we are very delighted to have him here today. His wife, Claudia, is also here. They have four sons, and one of their sons, Dylan, is a freshman here. And so, a little more about Dr. Doran. He holds four degrees. He got his undergraduate education here at Bob Jones University. And then he received two advanced degrees from Detroit Seminary, as well as a Doctor of Ministry degree elsewhere. Dr. Doran has co-authored a book on missions called For the Sake of His Name. The church there at Inner City has a very strong missions and church planning emphasis. They hold a biannual conference in January for college students called the Student Global Impact Conference. And so Dr. Doran is well known here. He has spoken here on several occasions. And so we are very delighted to have him come today and tomorrow to preach in chapel. Dr. Doran.
I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles, please, and go to Proverbs chapter 27. I was thinking this week as I was preparing to come down, I was a senior here at Bob Jones 29 years ago, which is a long time ago. You know, I was thinking about how long ago that was. Is you actually have buildings named on campus now for people that were my teachers and on staff at that point. That's how long ago that was. Stephen Jones, the president, was an elementary school. And Dr. Bob III was younger than I am now, which is really depressing. Because I remember being your age and thinking he was really old at that time. So I can imagine what you're thinking about me when I say that. But the reality of it is the time goes very quickly. You will be amazed, and you probably already are starting to feel it, because the longer you live, the quicker each year seems to go. The future will very quickly turn into the past in your life. And the reality of it is right now, you look out at most of your life and think it's wide open, the future's out in front of you, but it won't be very long until it's gone, and you're in the middle, or actually I guess 50 where I am is not going to be anywhere close to the middle, all the way down the route on it. And the reality of it is a lot of the things that you're thinking about, that you're anticipating, some of those things will happen, some of those things won't happen. But one of the things that I think we do need to do, since we can't predict the future, we can't really even control the future, is that we need to approach the future wisely. And the book of Proverbs gives us some great truth about that. And what I'd like to do this morning is just really practically look at four texts of Scripture in the book of Proverbs and try and answer the question for us, how can we face the future wisely? And lay them out in terms of statements to us, two of which I'd say we must do, and two of which we ought to or should do. So look first of all at Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Here's the first truth that I'd suggest to you about the future. We must face it humbly. I mean, we cannot look at the future and see it. That's the point, the second part of the text, right? Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We have ideas about what tomorrow might be like. We have ideas what we would like it to be like. But we really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And therefore, we should not boast about it. We should be humble. I mean, in one sense, humility and pride really come down to the recognition of the difference between us and God. I mean, God does know what is on tomorrow because He has omniscience. You and I do not know what is tomorrow because our knowledge is limited. It's finite. God can control tomorrow because He's omnipotent. You and I cannot control tomorrow because our power is limited. So we have to stand and look at the future and look at it humbly. That we cannot boast about tomorrow because we do not have the ability to see it or in fact control it. Human pride is when we think we have divine attributes like being able to predict the future, being able to control the future, instead of recognizing really that we're weak and insufficient to that kind of responsibility. And any time we look at the future, we begin to anticipate the future, we have to feel the sense, if I could put it this way, of our creatureness. We are creatures. We're not the creator. We're limited, and therefore we better not boast about tomorrow. We better not act as if we have the power and insight to be able to control tomorrow. We must face it humbly. You know, over the past year, I've had a number of reminders of this in the space, really, of less than 12 months. We've had a series in connection with our church of what would be relatively young people die. Back at the end of March, we had a man in our church that got a blood clot that released and went up, and within 24 hours, he was dead at the age of 57. Less than a month later than that, my sister-in-law, 2 days after her 50th birthday, died of cancer. About 3 months later, a man in our church named Aaron, 38 years old, died of a heart attack. Several months later, one of a graduate of Bob Jones University in our seminary in his early 40s had a heart attack and died. Just about a month ago, a fellow that I graduated from high school with and has a daughter who's a senior in our Christian school was at home on a Friday night cooking dinner with his high school daughter and just fell to the floor and collapsed and died. I mean, all of those people had a heart to live for God and do what's right. None of them could predict what was going to happen to them in 2011 or early 2012. But the reality of it is that lesson wasn't just fresh on the docket for me this year. I can still remember the evening during my sophomore year here at Bob Jones standing in front of Smith Dormitory and getting word that a guy that I knew from high school who was from Roseville, Michigan, had been off to dinner. He was a junior. Had been off to dinner at a restaurant, pushed back from the table, his heart basically blew up and died as a junior in college. Wasn't but a couple years after college, a fellow that I'd been in school with, an evangelist, had a brain aneurysm and died. Another guy that had been a year or two behind me was in a car accident. Just a couple years ago, one that I graduated with died of cancer. Now, my goal isn't to bum you out and depress you this morning. Right, but it is to say the kind of arrogance that we can have when we think about the future is precisely what God would tell us not to do. We must not boast about tomorrow because we don't know what tomorrow will have. And as James 4 says, our life is a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. So we need to live each day humbly, recognizing that we are dependent, not independent. We are limited in our knowledge and power. We are not unlimited in it. We must live and face the future humbly. Let me invite you to turn to chapter 16 of Proverbs, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 16. Second truth is found in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. It's a related truth that sits right alongside of this same truth of humility, but is important, I think, to draw out for us as well. Proverbs chapter 16, and look at verse 9, please. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The two parts of this proverb are intended to emphasize what we do and what God does. And it uses the word way as sort of the general path which we pursue. A man devises or plans his way, the path that he wants to pursue. But it's actually the Lord who directs his steps, the course of events on that pathway. That is, in fact, under the Lord's control. That we can have and I hope you do, we'll talk about this in a moment, we can have an idea about where we want to go in life, what we think the pathway should be, and we devise that, we plan that. But then we begin to take the steps on that path, and the Lord directs them in the way that He wants them to go. His plan is not always the same as our plan. And His plan always wins. His plan rules over all of our plans. And so the second principle that I want to lay out if we're going to face the future wisely is that we must face it not just humbly, but submissively. We have to leave room in our calculations and our thoughts about the future for God to do something different than we had in mind. We may find ourselves as we're marching the path that we think we should go and have God put a boulder in the middle of the road so that we have to go around a different direction. We have to pursue something different than we intended because He directs our steps in that way. And the reality of it is we are inevitably going to have that happen. I mean, you're right now at the stage in life where you're trying to make decisions about the future in ways you may not even recognize. Everything in your life up to this point has been painting a picture in your mind about what you think life should be like. You've got ideas and dreams and ambitions and visions of what it would be like, and that's not bad. In fact, if you had none, I would be concerned about you. Okay, if you sat here and said, you know, who cares what happens in the future, I would be worried about you. But if you allow your plans to become so important to you, so much that you hold on to them, and if God redirects your life, you rebel in your heart against Him. You begin to get angry with Him. You begin to fight against what He's doing. Then you're not facing the future wisely at all. Because you're not saying, Lord, if You will, I will do such and such. Like James 4 says. And that's not back here, Lord, show me Your will so I know what to do. It's, if You allow it to be, I will do such and such. Because you can't control the future, you need to submit your plans to God, knowing that His wisdom, His purpose, is better than our wisdom and our plans. We need to submit ourselves to it so that we don't live fighting against God or getting angry or unhappy with God because things haven't worked out the way we planned them to work out. They're not coming into focus the way we want them to. Because at that point, the battle between our devising of our way and God directing our steps really is an issue of who's going to be Lord of your life. And sadly, too many people who profess the name of Christ only will serve God as long as God gives them what they want. The minute their plans get messed up, they're ready to bail on God. Because God isn't God to them. God's some kind of cosmic vending machine that if they put the right thing into it, I pray right or I do right, I put that coin in the slot, press the buttons, and God gives me what I want. And you know, if you've ever had the experience of putting your coin in, pressing the buttons, and you wanted the bag of M&Ms and it gives you, you know, an almond bar or something, and you're looking at it and going, that's not what I wanted. It's okay to be a little unhappy with a vending machine. But the wise God who gave His Son for you has a plan which is perfect. If He sends you the almond bar instead of the M&Ms, you are to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. And if your heart faces the future in a way that is dictating to God what He must do, then you're facing the future foolishly. Not wisely. You need to be prepared to have God redirect your steps in a way that will magnify His name, advance His glory, advance His grace in your life. Remember, the Apostle Paul is a great example of this truth. He has a plan. He has intentions about what he's doing. He tells the Romans in Romans chapter 15 that he's going to finish the offering in Macedonia and Achaia. He's going to take it down to Jerusalem, deliver it to Jerusalem. Then he's going to go from there on his way to Spain and stop in Rome to minister to them. So he has, I mean, it's not like a week's itinerary at that point. He wasn't going to call up Alitalia and fly all these places. I mean, he had to work through a long-range plan of his life. He had it laid out. And you remember what happened when he got to Jerusalem? A riot breaks out. He gets thrown in prison. He goes from prison in Jerusalem up to Caesarea and spends a couple of years in Caesarea. Then he has to go as a prisoner to Rome. That is not the way Paul planned it. Yet Paul was willing to submit to the will of God, and we have benefited to this day from God's rearranging of Paul's plan, because it was during that time that Paul wrote some of the letters that we read. It was God sovereignly redirecting the steps of Paul to accomplish God's purposes, even though Paul's plan was a good God-honoring plan. Paul had great ambitions and desires, but God knew better than Paul. And so Paul had stated his plan this way in Romans chapter 15. If the Lord wills, if God wills, I will come to you. So he was saying, here's the plan, Macedonia, Jerusalem, ultimately Spain, Italy on the way, but it's all up to God. I'm going to devise my way, but God might redirect my steps. And I think I can say to you fairly certainly that your life is not going to go exactly like you think it is right now. And some of that will be an enormous blessing from God to you, because you really don't know how to direct your path right now. Some of it is going to bring real challenge and difficulty into your life. But if you will follow God, submit to Him, yield to His will, rejoice in His providence over your life, then you will face the future wisely instead of closing in your heart with greater and greater anger and lack of joy because you're not getting what you want. If you've come to follow Christ, then believe that He knows what is best and has what's best for you. And lay your life before Him in a submissive way, following the future. Let me ask you now to chapter 21, please. Chapter 21. So two, what I said were must. We must face it humbly. We must face it submissively. Now I'm going to offer two that I'm going to say we should. That is, we ought to do this, because it's possible that we might not, in terms of how we live our lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. 21:5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. The first part of that verse, the thoughts of the diligent, one way to understand it would be the plans of the diligent. Okay, so what Solomon is referring to here is a person who's looking forward, and they're being diligent about the process of planning. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. Right? But if you just sort of run off into the future, you try to make haste to get it done, you don't think about what needs to be done, it leads to poverty or to want, to lack. This is the same kind of truth that you see in the book of Proverbs in chapter 6, which you may be familiar with. Some of you may have had parents quote this to you when you didn't want to get out of bed in the morning, right? Go to the ant, thou sluggard. And what does it say about the ant there? That is, the ant in the summer prepares for the future. And the point that God is saying through that instruction, that wisdom to be drawn from the ant, is you need to, where you are now, anticipate what needs to be done in the future and exercise initiative toward it. The words of this text are, the thoughts of the diligent, or the plans of the diligent, lead to advantage. Now here's the point and the tension that comes in. I just said we need to face the future humbly and submissively. So we do that because we don't know the future and we can't control the future. And here's what some people do in response to that. Well, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and I can't control what's going to happen tomorrow, so I don't care about tomorrow. But that wouldn't be the full picture of what Proverbs says about facing the future wisely. We must face it humbly and submissively, but we also should face it carefully. That is, God expects us, if we're going to live wisely, to anticipate the needs of tomorrow and make plans today to address those. You can't just live your life thinking, hey, there's nothing that I need to do about tomorrow, when you know there is. I mean, you know right now. Some of you, in fact, are wrestling with the fact that in an hour or so, you have an exam or you have a task or you have an assignment, and you're going, I got to get this done. You know you can't just shut off tomorrow. And God says you need to approach it wisely. You need to approach it carefully. You should, in fact, plan. And there's the tension that we feel all through life and Scripture between God's sovereignty and our responsibility. Because God does know the future and has a plan for the future and controls the future, does not in any way justify irresponsibility on my part. I must, in fact, anticipate what is needed tomorrow or the next day and begin to plan to accomplish that. Because the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. More often than not, one commentator says, when we plan the future, it is successful. But that has to be done humbly and submissively. Let me give you another illustration from Paul about this. Paul, on that trip from Macedonia ultimately to Spain, He's going to make his way back to Jerusalem, and he wants to get there by a certain time. So he sends messengers ahead to the city of Ephesus so that the elders of the church at Ephesus can come down to Miletus to meet him. And the text of Scripture says in Acts 20, verse 16, because he wanted to get to Jerusalem in time for the feast. So Paul had planned the future carefully enough that he would send messengers, gather people together, because he had a timetable and a structure that he wanted to make. He wasn't just sort of waking up in the morning and saying, okay, Lord, what's going to happen today? He actually had a plan and a purpose that he was pursuing because he wanted to accomplish things for God's glory and advance the mission of Jesus Christ. And so he thought about the future and he made careful arrangements to try to carry them out. But by the time he got to Jerusalem, God said, Paul, hang on, I got a different plan for you. So God was in control, but Paul was exercising responsible participation in the arrangements of his life. And so I would challenge all of us today, as you look at the future, if you're going to face it wisely, you need to start to think about, what do I need to do? What is it that I think God has put it in my heart to do? And how can I move in that direction, trying to be careful with the stewardship of what God's given me, take advantage of the opportunities that are there to make the most of that for God's glory? We need to approach it carefully as well as humbly and submissively. Go down to verse 31, because here's probably a great balancing point of this point about facing it carefully. A text I go to often in terms of thinking this way. Verse 31 says, 21:31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord, or victory is of the Lord. So here's the balance. Okay? We have a job to prepare the horses for the day of battle. But ultimately, the victory doesn't come from horses. Victory is from the Lord. So what God would want us to do, what He wants you to do as you're at this stage of your life looking out the future is prepare the horses for the day of battle. Do your present responsibilities well. Study, learn, think about what's going on in the world and what God's doing and what He might want you to be a part of that. Anticipate those things. Begin to move in a way that try to maximize the gifts and abilities God has given you for His greatest glory. But remember, the battle is the Lord's. That you're not God. He is. And He may direct and move you in ways that you hadn't anticipated, and that's a good thing because He has a plan and He knows what's right. One more verse, if you would. Look over to chapter 16, please. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3. And this one, I think, flows out of all three of these coming together. Humbly, submissively, carefully, and I would suggest as well we should face the future prayerfully. Look at verse 3 of chapter 16. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The plans will be established. So you're to take really the idea of what you're going to do and roll it over to the Lord. Yield it to Him. And that's language, I think, of prayer, that we take the truth that God is in control. God knows everything. So we're humble and submissive about it, diligent, careful, but tying those together by saying, Lord, here's what's in my heart. Here's the burden I have. Here's the desire I have. Here's what I would like to see happen. But I'm going to commit that to You. I'm going to roll that to You so that I yield it to You in a way that demonstrates that You are the center of my life, not me. It's King Jesus, not King David. That Your will, Your plan, Your purpose is what matters. So I'm going to bow the knee and present it to You and say, if You will, I'd like to see this come to pass. And again, Paul here is the perfect example to us because he has the plan, but he knows God's control. And so he asks the Romans to pray for him as he prays that these things might be accomplished in the will of God. Do we talk to God about the future in a way that demonstrates that we know it's His, not ours? Do we, when we think about the future, do we think and talk about it in a way that doesn't reflect the arrogance of us thinking we can demand and make happen the future? Do we talk humbly about it? Or do we talk boastfully about it? Some of you may already be at the stage where you're unhappy about the way your plans are turning out because you're running into roadblocks. And in your heart is a kind of unhappiness with it that ultimately is against God. And you need to come to grips with that you're not facing the future wisely because you're not facing it submissively. You need to have a heart that will yield to the authority of God over your lives and over the future. I'm certain in a group this size, there are some of you who are failing to accept responsibility to be careful with your future. You're not being diligent in the responsibilities that God has given you so that the future can have His blessing on it. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage. You're acting in a way as if now is all that matters. And you need to heed the wisdom of Proverbs to plan carefully about what's ahead, yielding it to God, submitting to Him. So let me just challenge us. If we're going to face the future wisely, we need to talk about the future as if we know God rules. We talk about the future recognizing the rule and authority of God. We need to plan for the future like we are God's servant. One day we'll give account of our lives, and we don't want to waste the resources He's given us. We don't want to waste the life He's given. So plan your life like you're God's servant. And one day you're going to give an account to Him, and you want to have done it carefully. We need to pray about the future in a way that shows that God's glory matters more to us than our ambitions. We will bow the knee and exalt Him in prayer about the future. Let me ask you to bow together with me, please, in prayer. Father, I thank You for the opportunity represented in this room. Thousands of lives that can accomplish great things for Your glory as You allow us to do that. That the ends of the earth, the nations, can be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So help us to face the future in a wise way, humbly and submissively, carefully, prayerfully, so that we don't waste our lives, but use them as a gift from You to magnify Your glory and grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.